Welcome to the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Griffith. I'm a business copywriter and blogger here in Orlando and the owner of OrlandoLadyBoss.com. Thank you for listening to the episode. And if you like what you have been hearing and you've been listening to the show, please take a moment to rate me on iTunes and Google Play. That is how other people are able to find the Orlando Lady Boss Podcast so they can hear about all the awesome things that are going on in Orlando and all the awesome women that are making impacts in Orlando. So please share the love. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or on Google Play. Thanks so much. Welcome to episode 24 of the podcast. I'm so happy you can join me because we're going to get down to business today. My conversation is with Sunira Madani, CEO of Fat Merchant, which is a merchant service subscription-based technology company homegrown right here in Orlando. Fat Merchant has been described by Orlando Business Journal as a disruptor in the financial service industry, and Sunira has been written up in Forbes and Fast Company. In short, Sunira is a total Orlando lady boss, and it was such a pleasure to speak with her today. Because Sunira has been working in many male-dominated spaces like tech and finance, I think she has a lot of great advice and insight for any woman who has a tech idea but isn't confident that she is the right person to execute it. Confidence is not a problem for Sunira, who you will learn is a planner and has a clear vision for Fat Merchant. She even successfully fundraised for her company at 7 months pregnant, and she will explain that whole process, what that was like in our interview, even though I wish that that wasn't a question we have to ask. But we all know, as women, we can do all types of stuff when we're pregnant. But sometimes I think that there's a little bit of a confidence gap there. So I just wanted her to share her story with you. I really hope you get some inspiration from Sunira today as she tells us all about her journey as CEO of Fat Merchant. Now, on to the interview. Welcome to the show today. And I am here with Sunira Madani with Fat Merchant. Welcome to the show, Sunira. How are you doing?
Thank you so much, Diane. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So, Sunira, can you tell us a little bit about Fat Merchant? Let's start there. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, so Fat Merchant is a subscription-based merchant services provider. So we do credit card processing and payment technology for small to medium-sized businesses all across the U.S. What makes us really unique is our awesome subscription platform. So it's a monthly membership fee versus paying for all the added percentages and all the markups. The ancillary fees that all of the other credit card processing companies charge. It's really expensive for a small business to accept credit cards. Mm-hmm. And we do it, 40% cheaper. So customers save a lot of money by switching to Fat Merchant because mm-hmm. we take them direct to Visa, MasterCard. And in exchange, they pay a flat monthly membership. So it's like a wholesale membership program mm-hmm. For payment processing. But what also makes us really unique is not only the savings, but we provide unbelievable technology to businesses it doesn't matter how they process payments. So we can integrate with what they're using today, or we can provide them an awesome solution if they want to take Apple Pay, or if they need an invoicing solution, if they need to set up recurring billing, they need a shopping cart, mm-hmm. Or they need all of the above. It's a one-stop solution for payments.
Yeah, so you're anything that kind of has financial
payments
that you need within your business, you have solutions
yes,
for that.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we provide, a lot of businesses today, they're using basic technology. Mm-hmm. But even if they want to keep the hardware, like a credit card terminal that they're using on their countertop, well, if you're processing with Fat Merchant, one, you're going to save a ton of money mm-hmm. by switching to us because we're direct and 0%. But two, we're going to be able to provide you awesome analytics and dashboard and great information from those transactions. So, here's all my transactional data for the month. I did really well compared to the month before. I didn't know my busy times were between 2 and 4. And so things like that. And so we do it for a couple of, you know, we do have all different types of solutions. One of our main verticals is retail and restaurant, but we do really awesome stuff for professional services. We integrate with your QuickBooks and things like that. So anything payments, you need to accept credit cards, Fat Merchant is where you go.
That's awesome. It sounds like you take all of that idea of, I think people are more familiar with analytics when it comes to marketing.
Yes.
And digital marketing. You're taking all that and applying it to your financial or how you're selling. It's like, where are you actually selling? Because that's where your money is coming from. So, like, how are you making money? When are you making money? All of those things like that.
You nailed it. I mean, it's the health of your business. And we have awesome tools and technology for pretty much every aspect of our business. Why not have it at the source of your revenue, of taking your payments? And so we try to help business owners make smarter decisions about their, you know, about their payments and help them analyze kind of what's happening, what are the trends, by even utilizing what they're doing today. And it's all for free. It all comes with the Fat Merchant membership. It's really cool. So we have, our goal is to empower small businesses to be the greatest that they can be.
Awesome. So where did you come up with this idea that let's do this subscription piece? Like, tell us what that journey was like.
So my background, I went to University of Florida. I graduated in 2009 with a degree in finance. I really loved finance, and I wanted to actually be, you know, a trader. And I thought that that was going to be my career, and I wanted to work in Wall Street. And 2009 is when the market crashed there, and UF was such a huge recruiting school, and literally there was nobody at Career Fair to recruit.
I remember. It's funny because I actually – probably 2009 probably sounds about right. I for 2 days, because I'm not that type of person, I got a job selling penny stocks to people. Yeah, I went through one day of training and went, no, thank you, and walked out. It was not for me. I felt very intimidated being in that atmosphere. So
definitely very male. I think everything that I've done so far has been always in like male-dominated fields. But I think it's also my personality. I've been very... I never get intimidated by any of that. But so anyway, I loved finance, wanted to do that. No real finance jobs available. I ended up taking a position in sales.
Okay.
And so I did that for a couple of years, and then I got recruited by a payment company, and I was with my experience in finance and with my experience in sales. And they're like, hey, you know, combine best of both, sell merchant services for us, and it's going to be awesome. You're going to run a territory. And that's kind of how I learned about the whole process of setting up a business to accept credit cards and how this whole industry worked. And at the time, there was only a few players that were out with awesome technology, but really there was a huge void in the market for that. One of the biggest pain points that was my pain point and my customer's pain point is that it is a very black box industry. There wasn't a lot of transparency for the business owner. It's like, oh, here's like a bunch of fees, and we're going to really confuse you by this 20-page statement that your bill that you're going to get. It almost feels like you're getting a phone book, and you have no idea. All you know at the end of the day, you're out 4% in fees. You don't know how they add up. That's not what you signed up for. They're, you know, when you went to your bank, they signed you up, and they said your rate was going to be a 1.5%. But they didn't tell you that there's the Visa fees associated with it. There's the credit card fees that are the bank fees that are associated with it. There's the merchant account fees. There's all these added fees. And that's how the industry was for the last 20 years.
I think that that's why a lot of small business owners are intimidated by that financial side.
Absolutely. And that's how it's designed. It's designed to make them intimidated. It's designed so that they don't look at it. It's designed for it to be tricky. And when I learned that cost is the same for every provider, so it didn't matter if it was Chase Payments Act, Bank of America, Fat Merchant, Stripe, Square, PayPal, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express, they set the rates every year. Kind of think of it like an exchange rate, right? So they set their fees every year. How merchant services companies make money is they tackle on their percentages on top of those rates. So if the bank's like, oh, we're going to give you a rate of 1.5, that's the bank's rate on top of the 2% that you're going to pay Visa. So when I learned that cost was the same, as a millennial, we subscribe to everything under the sun. So I have my Birchbox, my wine of the month, I have I have a subscription for my dog. And so it's like, why can't subscription be applied to payments? And we can make it super transparent. Every business owner, regardless of their volume, regardless of their size, gets direct access to Visa MasterCard's rate wholesale without paying for any added percentages, just a flat monthly fee, $79, let's call it flat.
Yeah.
And so it was the first in the, you know, I kind of, that's the idea that I had. I took it back to my old bosses and I was like, hey, I want to run with this in my territory. I think it's going to be fantastic. no idea that I was going to start my own business or go do this on my own. And they pretty much laughed in my face and said, this is not, you know, this isn't going to work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, go back to doing what we told you to originally do. Mm-hmm. And so I did what any natural 26-year-old would do, was leave.
Yeah. See you later, guys. I was the same way. There was times where it was like, you're not going to work with me? All right, I don't need to keep staying here and putting in effort.
What's interesting is I never really had the courage to ever, like, I was never a job hopper. Uh-huh. I've kind of always been very risk averse.
Okay.
But I felt very compelled in the mission and vision of what I was trying to do, and mm-hmm. I knew there was a market need for it. And mm-hmm. so I left the company. I decided to start it on my own. It was a really tough journey, and I have to go get registered with Visa, MasterCard, you know, and start a payment technology company. Where do you even begin with that? Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the path in 2013, 2014, I got my registration with Visa. And from there, it's been unbelievable. 2014, we did $5 million in transactional volume for our customers.
Wow.
2015, we did $110 million. 16 last year, we did $750 million, and we're about to break $1 billion in payments.
Yeah, and I've seen news articles about you, and they call, you're like the disruptor in this industry, which is amazing, because you hear these stories all the time of these mail-ran companies that are disruptors, and it's like, yes, now we have like a female to get behind, you know, a woman to get behind, that's like...
I love it, I'm so proud of it.
Yeah, changing the how industry, and that's such a male-dominated industry, yes. It's so... It's just like a boys' club, and so it's nice to be like, yeah, we can come in and do it better and yes. be all girl power about it. I love that. So
thank you. I'm awesome. Really excited for that.
Mm-hmm. So you had this idea. You got registered with Visa, MasterCard, and your background is in sales and finance. How did you approach all the other skills that you needed to run a technology company? Because I think a lot of people go, I have this great idea for an app, or I have this thing, but there's all this technology part that I don't know what to do, how to do it.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things that I feel like is almost becoming like one of my biggest inspirational quotes is there's no such thing as a $1 billion idea, mm-hmm. only a $1 billion execution. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, for anything, for a business to actually, and whether it's, you know, any sort of business, a technology-based business, a non-technology-based business, a brick and mortar, a restaurant, whatever it may be, a lifestyle business, for, you know, anyone can have great ideas, but what it comes down to is actually being able to execute upon all the other things that it takes to actually sustain and grow a business. And mm-hmm. that's the toughest part. And going back to it, it's exactly it. I mean, it wasn't just about having a great idea. It was about building a team around me that can help execute this really great idea. Mm-hmm. And so if I wanted to build out, so not only did I want to disrupt the pricing model, because I don't think that it's fair that business owners have to negotiate their fees every year. It should be very transparent. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to do is, you know, a flat monthly fee. But also think about, you know, what are the tools that we can provide them? How do we build them out, right? So how do I mm-hmm. build out a payment platform? I have no idea. I didn't have a background in technology. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the things that really worked well for me, and I think that works well for other entrepreneurs, is you know what you're good at, what you're not good at, and you raise your hand mm-hmm. when you need help. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did. I went to the Orlando community. I joined a technology accelerator. I said, hey, look, here's what's happening. I'm getting traction in my business, and I've been able to, you know, start growing revenue here and be able to acquire customers. But I need help on building out this technology piece. Where do I go? And I enrolled in Starter Studio, which is a technology accelerator in downtown, mm-hmm. Which was pivotal to Fat Merchant's success and Fat Merchant's growth. And that's where I met our CTO, Jacques. And he happened to be there working on another idea at the time. And it was like his fourth company that he started. Mm-hmm. And I would just pick his brain on, I mean, I have no idea what type of language I want my program to uh-huh. be on, or what this is even going to, you know, what this, anything's going to be like.
Yeah.
And Jacques really took, you know, he took an interest in, you know, me as a leader and not in the company and what we were trying to do, and joined our team. And he got really, we got really passionate about really wanting to solve this problem. And so it wasn't me that was able to actually build the technology. Mm-hmm. I had tons of ideas of what I wanted it to do and the mm-hmm. capabilities. And Jacques hadn't done payments before, mm-hmm. but he built awesome technology. And so I think it's really about building and surrounding yourself with the right team that can help you execute upon all the things that it takes to go build that mm-hmm. successful company.
Yeah, I always think about that. And I think about that kind of stuff in terms of, it's weird, I'm going to go on a tangent, but like celebrities, right? You see these celebrities, and I always think of like Jessica Simpson. She has to be really intelligent to know where her weaknesses are, to surround herself with whatever people are around her that's getting her like up and making her do all these things. So I think it's one of those where, yeah, find those right people, because you don't have to like know everything. You just need to know what you don't know, so you can find someone that can help you do that stuff.
No, I completely understand what you're saying. No, and I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's in anything in life, right? So, I mean, you have to be able to identify your strengths and your weaknesses and play mm-hmm. on that. And it's definitely our team. And we've been able to, I mean, and it's leveraging, you know, it's also understanding your customer as well. Mm-hmm. It's really trying to build something that's not a lot of things, a lot of something that I see technology companies fail at mm-hmm. is they have like the greatest idea and they're trying to build the technology and then make it so perfect mm-hmm. that they're not getting it in the hands of the customer to seeing if they're actually going to use it.
Yeah.
You know, what's the customer feedback? Are they really going to, you know, how much are they using mm-hmm. it? How much are they logging in? What are their biggest pain points? And continually solve against that versus trying to be like, oh, here's this perfect product that we're going to go develop and then nobody downloads it.
Yeah. And so how long did it take you to go from the point of like, here's this idea to here's a minimum viable product for me to go start testing customers?
Great question. So mm-hmm. I think 2013 was kind of when I started putting pen to paper into mm-hmm. the business plan. 2014, and a lot of it was based on getting Arlo licenses, and there was a lot of things that had to get done in terms of getting our, you know, being able to be registered to sell payments. Mm-hmm. So that took place 2014. March of 2014, we like officially were like ready for business. And between March and my first hire was August. And I think that was like a pivotal milestone for us, was when you have your first hire, you're like not just responsible for yourself. You're really responsible for another human being's livelihood and, mm-hmm. you know, their family and stuff. And I take, you know, that was kind of like my first, like, I really have to I'm not just doing this for myself. There's more people involved now. Mm-hmm. And I would say August, September is when we had like, when we were starting to acquire, I think we were doing like 5 customers a month maybe. And it was all business development. It was just myself and mm-hmm. Lindsay. We were all over town. We were going to every networking event. And you have mm-hmm. to literally bootstrap your way. It doesn't just come overnight. I think mm-hmm. Something that everyone's misconceptions is just, you're going to have it, you're going to launch it, and you're going to have, you know, 1,000 customers. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen that way. I mean, I literally had to go get our first 100 customers. I personally went and sold to.
It's funny that you say that, because you're like, we had to go out and just go to every networking event and really go out and talk to people and put a face to names. And that's how you brought those customers mm-hmm. in. It wasn't just because you have a quote unquote online business, right?
Yeah.
But it was about those personal connections and that networking that got those people excited about what that business was.
Absolutely.
But that means that you have to spend all this time out and about business developing instead of in the company doing the work that, you know, working for the customers that you're acquiring. So you had to go and find someone to outsource. But what advice do you have for other women who don't know how to juggle those things? They don't feel like they're ready to bring someone on in some capacity, but they know they need to get out there and develop their business.
Yes. I mean, I think that it's, I'm going to say suck it up. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I'm going to say. Like, you just have to do it. You mm-hmm. have to be the one that's going to have to roll up your sleeves. You have to be the customer service specialist. You have to be the business development person. You have to be the technologist. You have to be the business strategist. You have to be the janitor. I mean, you have to wear every single hat mm-hmm. when your company is launched. And still, even as CEO today, I'm still wearing a multitude of hats, even though my team has grown from just 1 to 30 now. Mm-hmm. The work still continues to multiply. I think when you know you're ready for that hire is when you're able to, one, you have to be able to afford it or mm-hmm. have the funding for it. So you don't want to just take that step because you feel like you're busy and then you're like, oh, I really could use someone, until you really are stretched thin mm-hmm. And you have the opportunity revenue, you know, if you have the revenue to support it, because that's a very serious step. But I think that once you kind of do that, then their role forms, and from there it continues to go. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Lindsay and I did really well in 2014 was we went around town pitching at every networking event, every business competition. There's a lot of great resources out there, and I would encourage everyone to tap into, mm-hmm. like, learn about what's happening in your city, learn about where the meetups are, where the small business, hubs are, you know, mm-hmm. what type of resources are there? Because mm-hmm. Lindsay and I went all over town. We won over $200,000 in prize money in competitions wow. for business planning and for like pitch competitions, for fast pitch competitions, for mm-hmm. technology competitions, just pitching Fat Merchant. And mm-hmm. that's how we were able to bootstrap the company.
Gotcha.
And so we were able to, as soon as we get funding, we'd be able to, you know, hire our next person, mm-hmm. add more resources, put a yeah. little bit more into marketing, but we managed it really well. And that's, you know, we didn't try to, just overly explode, but kind of take everything one step at a time. Mm-hmm. So crawl, walk, run.
Well, I think that that's an interesting way to think about your business instead of just going, hey, I'm searching for customers that can pay for the service that maybe I don't even have developed yet. Let me go out and look for some type of fundraising so I can find some money so we can work on the actual structure, the structural interface of the business while you're trying to,
yeah,
you know, bring all that.
It has to be both ways mm-hmm. though. I mean, you can't, so even if you're going to go out and fundraise, mm-hmm. they actually want to see, okay, how many customers do you have?
Gotcha.
What type of revenue do you have? So no one's going to fund a company that you don't have mm-hmm. an MVP yet. So you still have to go get customers to go validate that you do have a viable business
gotcha.
That can scale.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's about wearing both of those hats. So mm-hmm. we were out, you know, doing both. So we were mm-hmm. acquiring customers,
mm-hmm.
we were building out technology, we were building out processes, and we started to seek funding for
gotcha.
For our company as well. Mm-hmm. But we had to show that we had a plan in place and that it was a scalable plan, and that with this investment, it wasn't just a fluke that we'd be like, oh, we're going to succeed or not. We had a very clear path for what we were going to do with the money
mm-hmm.
and how we were going to take that to go scale for revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And so investors do want to see a company that already has revenue and our path to scalable revenue.
And it sounds too like you have to get to that point, and it sounds maybe you're about a year in. I'm trying to think about the timeline, right? You
yeah.
have an MPV, an MVP by about a year in. Yes, so you're about a year in. So you have an MVP, and now you're out fundraising. But when you're at that point where you have the MVP, now you have to have a very clear vision about where your business is going, right? Because you now have to tell other people, here's where we are, here's where we want to go. And I think that sometimes when we're starting a business, you're just so involved in the everyday that you're not thinking about the long term.
Yes.
Where are you going? You're just, okay, let me do this thing and then I do that thing. And so how, you know, what was the process like for you guys to sit down and go, okay, here's where we are now. And I'm sure you probably evaluate this on a regular basis for yourself. Here's where we are now. Where do we want to go? And how do we explain that to people?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that it's constant. I mean, you always have to be you have to be working on your business. And that's kind of one of the things mm-hmm. that you alluded to earlier was how do you make time to work on your business if you're working in the business? And I think it all goes down to mm-hmm. balancing, and there's no secret science to mm-hmm. this is exactly how much time you should spend here. Mm-hmm. You should spend time here, because you kind of have to have everything
yeah.
in place.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that for us, what made it really successful was, you know, we started acquiring customers. We were really focused on sales and revenue. And every single one of us kind of we had shared hats, but, you know, there was somebody that was responsible for building. Like, we all came together as a team to collaborate on mm-hmm. strategy.
Gotcha.
And so it was making the time out to understand kind of where we are with timelines, setting deadlines, setting expectations, setting goals, setting revenue goals,
mm-hmm.
setting product goals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you have to kind of write everything down and see it. Like, you have to be able to understand what your strategy is
mm-hmm.
and then work on all the steps that's going to take to go ahead and execute it. So it's not about, oh, we need to get to 1,000 customers. Well, what does that look like? What does that timeline look like?
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to scale that? What comes to it when we're going to have 1,000 customers? How are we going to support that?
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to have even like a top line plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
Even if all the details aren't particularly ironed mm-hmm. out yet.
I wonder too, when you were doing some of these things and you went, okay, we want to go after fundraising money, there's obviously applications and different requirements at each place. Did some of those things help you think about questions that you maybe weren't thinking about along the way as you were applying? Or
yeah, so there's two parts to what. So one, we did pitch competitions
mm-hmm.
and business plan competitions. So that was just like the initial, like, hey, we have this awesome, like, let's go apply. There was a National Association of Women Business Owners. That was one of
mm-hmm.
the first ones, NABO.
Yeah.
So they have an annual business plan competition. So I applied for the new business or the emerging category, mm-hmm. and we won that, and that was, like, our first, like, it was, like, a $7,500 check that we got from Napa, which was wow. awesome. Thank you, Napa. Mm-hmm. And so that was the, like, one of the, so they had a bunch of questions on there that were, like, oh, hey, I never thought about what this X, what, like, what a pro forma would look like or what mm-hmm. this would look like in my financial plans. Absolutely. Business planning and business planning tools will really help you get a good start. Then the second set, what you're talking about fundraising, I mean, we're talking about, like, angel investors, VCs, et cetera. And so for us, that kind of started with Starter Studio. So then we built out the platform. We were able to have, like, a big demo day where we were able to demo the product, and we were coached on, we had awesome mentors, and many of them were all actually part of different funds around town that were actually helping us prepare for fundraising. So what type of questions do VCs ask for? What are they looking for in a team? What are they looking for in your technology? What are they looking for in your finances? And so we were able to get great mentoring from our community and be able to get ready to go pitch, mm-hmm. right? So I mean, it's kind of like real life Shark Tank.
Gotcha.
So we were really successful in attaining capital, but it wasn't just because of, oh, we had a great idea. It's because we had a really clear path for revenue. We already had a good product. We already had a great team in place. So, mm-hmm. So we ended up doing, so far we've raised about $2.4 million for the company in our seed and our Series A. Mm-hmm. So we did two rounds of funding. One was for a seed, and then a year and a half ago we did our Series A.
Okay. I know that this is, so can you explain a little bit more what that means, what you just said? Because
yeah.
I don't know what that means specifically.
So in certain businesses, so you can either be a lifestyle business mm-hmm. or you can be a venture-backed business. Mm-hmm. And we want to continue to grow and get Fat Merchant into hands of every customer that we can. Mm-hmm. That will require dollars to scale.
Gotcha.
So for us, we go out to seek funding mm-hmm. and seed just means like your initial round. So there's different, as you continue to grow, like the more fundraising you take, it's just kind of like, oh, this is like our next round of funding.
Gotcha.
But you're using the dollars towards scaling and growing your company. But mm-hmm. every time that you do go out and go raise capital, you're giving up equity percentage of your company. Mm. So I'm no longer, I mean, it's not just my company. Mm-hmm. I have shareholders that we're responsible to. Mm-hmm. And we have a board of directors that I'm responsible to. So it's not just
you know.
Me, Sonera, that owns the company and our team. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we are a venture-backed company that is responsible to all shareholders.
Interesting. Yeah. I thank you for explaining that. Because yeah. I think we see, you know, we see things like Shark Tank. We see all this stuff. And we don't always understand
yeah.
what that looks like in real practical ways.
Sounds like a little VC 101.
Yeah, exactly. So during your fundraising, I'm not sure if it was your first round or your second round, but you were pregnant.
Yes.
And I know last year I saw you speak at a Fun City event, and that was one of the things you talked about, that you were pregnant and you kind of had to work that into your pitch because it was getting asked a lot. So can
yeah.
you tell us a little bit about what that process was like?
So when we set out to do the Series A, we're, you know, raising over $1 million. I'm 7 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. And so at one, you know, as there's not a lot of females as CEOs, one in payments, but even in like venture-backed companies, and mm-hmm. females are funded less than male companies. Mm-hmm. And so part of one thing, like, well, while I'm literally clearly 7 months pregnant, so I'm not hiding it. I wanted to address my pregnancy even within, you know, my conversations with investors and VCs, because I did not want them to make that an excuse for me not putting my business first, because mm-hmm. a lot of times there is a stigma that, oh, if a woman has a baby, mm-hmm. that's it. That's her life is over. And that's her only priority.
Yeah.
And Mila is my number one priority mm-hmm. in life. But Fat Merchant is very important to me as well. And I give my 100% to my company. Mm-hmm. As I do to my family. Mm-hmm. But I think it was important for me not to shy away from it mm-hmm. and to kind of address it head on and be like, hey, like, here's my plan for maternity leave. Here's mm-hmm. the amount of time I'm taking off. Here's the plan that I have in place, mm-hmm. just in case you were wondering.
Yeah. Just because I think sometimes as women, we want to try to hide those things instead of like
yeah.
being really direct and going, this is what's happening. This is where I am. And this is how it's going to be.
This is
how,
yeah. And this is not, it's by no means, is it going to affect my business or mm-hmm. give, you know, put, you know, I don't want them to have the notion that I'm not going to have the ability to go execute. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to kind of address it instead of maybe that's not what they were thinking, right? Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to not have any assumptions. So for me, one of the things that I did is like part of it. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. hey, by the way, this is my plan. And I think it went really well for me by addressing it versus trying to wait until they ask or not ask or mm-hmm. let them make assumptions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that was really kind of a brilliant thing. It's frustrating to go, okay, well, this is getting talked to, right? We have to have this conversation, right? Because like, why do we even have that conversation? Because you're literally, there's no way for you to hide it. Like you said, like you walk in and they know a baby is coming sometime soon, where a man could have a 7-month pregnant wife at home pitching and they would never
know.
They
would never have to know or bring it up.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. So I really appreciate that approach because it just is an obstacle that we have to face as women.
And I receive different feedback. I talked to actually a multitude of even women about it, even within different within different funds. And I have a couple of friends that, you know, are partners in different funds. And I was like, hey, how do I approach this? And one of them in particular said, Sarah, it's going to be really hard for you to fundraise when you're that pregnant. They're mm-hmm. going to ask about it. And, you know, she's like, it's really tough. I don't know if you can go raise the money that you're looking to raise mm-hmm. at this time. You should start now. Mm. And, you know, I love when I hear a challenge and like, it can't be done or it's tough. And I just like makes me want to just crush it. And so for me, things like that just fuel me more. And I'm like, well, screw it. I'll do it when I am 7 months pregnant. Gotcha. And I'll get the check and I'll do it in less than 60 days. And we'll call it a wrap.
I love that. I love the confidence there to go for it too, because mm-hmm. that's definitely something that you have to go after those things. It's absolutely. Just be confident in yourself.
And I think that's one of the things that sets us back as women is that we are such perfectionists. Mm-hmm. We want everything to go like we're just in our heads more mm-hmm. than anybody else is in our way.
Definitely.
So we are in our way. Mm-hmm. We sit here and we want to come up with every excuse and why we can't get up and go ask for those dollars or go ask for what we need or go demand a higher paycheck, or go demand a higher valuation because we're so grateful for what we have.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we're so appreciative of every opportunity. Well, no, we have to, you know.
Well, and also I think confident. You think if I ask, they're just going to say no. So what's the point of asking anyways? Because then they're going to think about me in a certain way because I asked. And
that's not the way men think.
Yes, it's not. You are 100% right. And sometimes if you don't even ask the question, you're never even going to know what the answer is.
Yes.
So yeah, there might be a lot of times it's no, but sometimes and enough times it'll be yes that will make you get all get the things that you want or try to figure out how to get
things. Yes, confidence is something you have to have and you have to believe in yourself mm-hmm. and you have to not let you be the reason that things don't get done or that you're stopping you.
I love that. Yeah, don't let you be the reason you're not getting things done. As a woman CEO, do you feel an obligation to look at workplace structures and like maternity leave policies, sick leave policies, vacation time, and the development of the women leaders in your company? Is that something that you are concentrating on or is it something that...
Yeah, absolutely. I think that as women, that as we succeed, I mean, we want to help other women succeed. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I've found in women that have been around me. Like I have had tremendous mentors who, you know, reach out that want a mentor, that want to help, and they're really getting no value for themselves besides just seeing someone else mm-hmm. succeed so that we can continue to pave the path. And so absolutely, it's a big passion of mine. I want to see as many women succeed as I can and also young professionals succeed, especially young women professionals succeed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a couple of things. I mean, I try to mentor, you know, there are some really awesome, amazing business women in town who are just getting started. They have awesome ideas and I know how difficult it can be from taking that idea to a successful business. So mm-hmm. I give my one-on-one time to a few of these women mm-hmm. and really help in terms of business planning, finance planning, making introductions, mm-hmm. And trying to do what I can in that way. Obviously, with Fat Merchant, I mean, half of, like, more than, I don't know, I don't want to give exact, I mean, literally half of our company is also women. And so mm-hmm. we're a technology company, mm-hmm. but we have, you know, half our staff is women mm-hmm. and not just in positions that you would assume women to be. And so, I mean, across all parts of, in every department. And so that's something that we're really proud of. Right now, I bring Mila to work on Fridays and, mm-hmm. you know, people bring their dogs and, you know, we have, you know, it's very flexible in terms of, you know, we have, we don't have that many moms in the workplace. We have a couple dads as well, but if kids are, you know, if they're home for the day or if they're sick, I mean, like, we want to create an environment that we can support working families. And so we have a really great culture for that.
Awesome. Wonderful. Fantastic. I love that you think about giving back to other women that you are seeing potential in, you know. I think that's a really important thing, is once you get to a certain point, even if you, I mean, you are there for sure, but like, even if you don't feel like you're all the way, you know, there to wherever that is, there is, I suppose, going and finding someone else that you see potential in, that you can talk to and help raise up, because
I think we all do. And it's really important. I think as women, especially, we need that, because we do become our biggest voices in our ear. And so it's, you know, it's great to get a perspective from somebody who's kind of done it from before. And I mean, my advice only goes so far to certain things. And then I have mentors who are that I feel are there.
Right? That's what I said. I was like, you feel there to me, but I'm sure that for you, there's someone that you feel is there that you're not at. Right. So.
And so it's just a continual, like, you have to keep reaching your hand so we can keep pulling each other up.
Fantastic. So can you give us a piece of advice that has stuck with you over the years?
Piece of advice that has stuck with me. I would say that it takes twice as long and twice as much money as you think it does to start a business. So that was something that was told to me way early back, and I couldn't agree with it more.
That's really good advice.
And it's actually, somebody said, just like planning your wedding, it costs twice as much and it takes twice as long and you cry twice as much and it's twice as much the headache, but it's also twice as much enjoyable too, right? So, you know, don't be surprised by a lot of, like, the, you know, there's always going to be problems or obstacles in your way. And the bigger you grow, those are only going to grow, right? So there's not like, I'm still putting out fires today every day. They're just relevant in size now to where we are in size. So they're not going to, there's going to be a new obstacle in your way every time. And you just have to figure out how to course correct, how to go through that obstacle and, like, continue to stay focused towards your goals. So just don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. We call them squirrels. So, like, you see a squirrel, like, there's amazing, there's 100 different ways to make revenue. There's 100 different ways to go do something. Like, stay focused on the vision and mission of your company and what you're setting out to do, and stay core and stay true to that. And just stay focused. Don't get distracted. And just keep climbing every obstacle until you get there.
Which I think is part of why it's important to have those sit downs and go, where is the vision of my company? So then when you get into that, hey, there's a squirrel over there, there's this opportunity, and you're going, that's not the right one for me because this is what I'm going after.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. That brings everything kind of full circle, I think. So, Sunira, where can we find Fat Merchant online? Where can we find you online?
So you can go to www.fatmerchant.com. That's FATTMERCHANT.com. Fat Merchant actually stands for Fast Affordable Transaction Technology, so it's meant to be fun. We make your wallet fat. But so fatmerchant.com is where you can go find us. We have all our social handles. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram, on Facebook. So definitely give us a few likes and a couple of shout-outs. And we love small businesses. If you know a small business that could benefit from saving money and awesome payment technology, refer them our way, and we'll make sure that they're taken care of.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Sunira, for being on the show. And we will catch you guys next time.
Sounds good. Bye, everyone.
Thank you so much for joining us here today on Orlando Lady Boss. And if you enjoyed this episode, please take the time to check us out on iTunes, where you can download all of our episodes, or on Google Play. And if you're enjoying what you're listening to, please, please give us a rating on iTunes or Google Play. That is how other people discover us and find out more about us. Also, you can check out the blog, OrlandoLadyBoss.com, and on there you can find all types of stuff about feminism and women-owned businesses and how to make an impact in your own world. and you can sign up for the monthly email list where I'll give you news and updates on things you need to know about women making an impact in Orlando and beyond, along with advice on how you can start making an impact in your own way. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Orlando Lady Boss, and you can like me on Facebook at facebook.com/OrlandoLadyBoss. And if you are a woman in Orlando doing something awesome, make sure you hashtag it with #OrlandoLadyBoss. Thanks so much for joining me today. Until next time, stay strong and go out and make an impact in your own world.